could sing it all the way around. We're glad for the good songs of Zion this morning. We thank God for His goodness and mercy. And we appreciate all that's been done and all that's being done, even in our behalf, even as we speak. Take your Bible, if you will, please, to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter number 2. Matthew chapter number 2. I didn't realize the congregational reading was going to be out of Matthew chapter number 2 whenever I was looking at this. But since it is and since I am, here we go. Matthew chapter 2, verse 10. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it and how good it is to be once again here in the house of God. We thank you, Lord, for loving us. Even when we were unlovable, we praise you and thank you now for all you've done. We pray the Lord that you'd help us and let the healing begin. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to be able to continue on serving you, looking with great anticipation to thy soon coming again. We say with the prophets and people of old, even so come, Lord Jesus. We thank you now, for thou art God. Beside thee, there's none else. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while, if we might, on the young child. And when you begin to look into this Bible lesson here that we're looking at, you're going to find out several things that are very important. But there's nothing more important than this young child that we're talking about here. By the time this is recorded, he's about 2 years old, somewhere along in that area there, and the wise men are on their way, and they're trying to find out, where is he that is born King of the Jews? Now, let me tell you right now, there was an Idumean king that was in office at the time. He had no regard for God, the Bible, good, right, moral, and decent, and most of all of Israel and Jerusalem felt the same way about it that he did. In the lesson we're looking at, let me say to you, is that no doubt the king, he was a big hypocrite like most of the rulers and kings that we know of in the day we live in. In fact is, you'll find that he wanted to kill the Christ child, but he told the wise men, whenever you find out where he's at, come bring me word that I may go, quote, worship him also. And worship to him meant killing. In the lesson we're looking at, we live pretty much in a day like that. Did you see that on the news this week? Where they're wanting to try to make chicken filet force them to open up on Sunday. See that? That's none of their business whatsoever. Colorado wants to ban being able to vote for a man they don't like because they got three or four or five or six up there, and that's communist dictatorship there. But let me tell you right now is that trying to force somebody to go against the word of the Lord and open up on Sunday, who has convictions about that? They'll be on Hobby Lobby too. I'm surprised as that has gone this far. I want to say that when you begin to look into this lesson here, you'll find that here they came, the wise men from the east. That's east of Jerusalem, by the way, that it's talking about. And let me say to you that whenever they're going there, they're looking for a prophecy that's been prophesied, and they're looking to be able to enjoy the fulfillment of it. Now, I want you to notice in the lesson that we're looking at that in verse number 8, is that verse number 8, verse number 9, verse number 11, verse number 13, verse number 14, and verse number 20 and 21. Look in verse 8. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. Look at that. The young child. He's mentioned in all these, the young child's mentioned in all these passages. And then when you found him, bring word again that I may come and worship him also, which he was a liar. He wasn't wanting to worship whatsoever. All right, and then notice in verse number 9, and whenever they had heard that the king, they departed, and lo, their star, which they saw in the east, went before them till it came and stood over the young child, where the young child was. I'm going to tell you something about this young child that's here. And notice, if you will, in verse 11, he said, and then whenever they were come together in the house, he's not in the manger anymore, and a couple of years passed, and he's in the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and looked, worshipped him. Not them, but him. And when they had opened up their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. All right, then verse 13. And when the Bible said they were departed, behold, the young angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. Be there thou until that I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. There it is again. Then notice in verse 14. And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother and departed by night into Egypt. And then look in verse number 20. In verse number 20, and he says, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. There it is again. Verse 21. And he arose and took the young child and his mother, and he came into the land of Israel. Now, I'm going to tell you something, that everything that we're talking about here this morning is about the young child. We're talking about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're talking about he that was born of a virgin. We're talking about he that, buddy, that came from out of this world and that was born of men, but yet he was not a partaker of the sinful nature of man. I'm glad to say to you that, if you will, what a great child, what a wonderful child this young child is that we're reading about here this morning. You know, this is the time of the year that we're talking about the birth of Christ. We're talking about how that he came into the world. And then you'll find that if you wanted to get deep down into it, and then some scholarly men, well, it wasn't this time of the year at all. And another one says it had to be at another time and another time and another place and another. I got to tell you, I don't care when it was and where it was, I'm glad it was. You see what I'm talking about? And there might be some of those other little things you'll never be able to run them all the way down. But I tell you what I do know. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that one of these days he's going to come again, and that he's going to receive us unto himself. Isn't it good to be able to know that God's not going to send some caravan or something? He said that I'm going to come after you myself. And let me tell you something, is that, make no mistake about it, is that if it was up to the world, the flesh, the devil, not one of us would ever make it in. I'm glad to know that God saved us and snatched us as a brand from the burning. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, is that look in verse number four of this text. Now, when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes, this is talking about Herod, and he's more than a little worried. Verse 3, let's just back up to that. And when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled. What was he troubled about? What was it he heard? They came there and wanted to know, where is he that is born king of the Jews? He's thinking, I thought I was the king. Now he's got him troubled about it. Not only is he troubled, but all of Israel's troubled with him. Yeah. Remember over there that I read yesterday the passage, John chapter number 14, and Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go again, I'll come receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. What a great escort he'll be. I got to say to you that when you begin to look into this lesson there, that Herod was troubled. He didn't have to be troubled, but he was troubled because he didn't believe in God, and he didn't believe in the Son of God. He wanted to be God himself. And that's where we're at in the day we live in. In this lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out is that here that he's inquired in verse 4. When he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. Boy, you talk about a demand. He said, I want to know, and I want to know right now. And I'm telling you right now, you'd better get your heads together and find out. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Now I will say to you, did you notice those scribes, they got together, and all of those people that were supposed to be of religious learning, all the priests and all the scribes got them together. They knew where Christ had been prophesied that he was going to be born. But did you notice, while they told Herod, and it wasn't more than 5 or 6 miles from where they were, and yet you'll find they told the king, but they didn't go themselves. You know what's wrong with the average Baptist? They've heard the way of salvation so many years, so many times. They've heard, and they'll point you that direction, but many of them just don't want to go themselves. They're just not going to come themselves. I've got family, and I've got friends. I've got people that are dear to my heart as well as you have, that I can promise you right now, they know the story. They don't even have to go to church this morning. They know the story. But they're not willing to come to him themselves. How about you boys and girls and men and women? You've heard the story more than once. Have you ever come to Christ as an empty-handed beggar? Have you ever come pouring your heart out, Lord, be merciful to me, sinners. Save me for Jesus' sake. And see, that's what's very vital and very important. I want to say to you that, if you will, that these men, these wise men, when they came and saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Hey, let me tell you, he is the star of this sermon and the star of this book and the star of this life. I guarantee you talk about a real star, not a Hollywood star, a heavenly star, and he is a real star, no doubt about that. In the lesson that we're looking at, the Bible said when they got there and they came into the house, notice that, if you will, that God doesn't miss a mark. They went in there and they saw the young child with his mother. And they fell down and worshiped him. Isn't that amazing how God don't miss a lick? Romanism, Roman Catholicism, which is the mother of harlots. And people don't like to be able to say that, because most of the world that's standing up and talking about conservatism and rights that we have and all that business there, all of them, most of them are out of rank Catholicism. I got to tell you something. She's a bloody, murderous, heathenish religion. And make no mistake about it, one of these days is that she's going to stick her ugly head up even further than it's already been. And as a result of that, you're going to find out is that there's going to be an onslaught against the Christ and against the anointed and against all the saints of God. Now, I want you to notice something else that, if you will, isn't it amazing that here that this child, the young child that's been mentioned so very many times, the Christ child, if you please, the Lord Jesus Christ, he was hated even from his birth. I mean, they didn't like the idea that somebody's going to be born king of the Jews. They didn't like the idea that somebody was a threat to their kingdom. They didn't like the idea that somehow or another that somebody might be coming in on their territory. And let me tell you something. These are people that came, the wise men from the east, and they really cared about the Lord. And you know that if you worship God and you really care about the Lord and worship, your care will show up in the cost of their treasure. Gold and frankincense and myrrh. I want to tell you, these are things that are worthy of a king. Now, you know, it was not by accident that we're looking, while you turn to Numbers, and we'll not stay there long, but over there in the book of Numbers, there's a passage over there that we ought to be looking at. I believe it's in chapter 27. And if it's not in chapter 27, well, then it'll be in one of these other chapters that we'll soon find here in a moment. But Numbers, in chapter number 27, if I've got it right, and let me see if I can turn there. I thought I'd jotted it down. Yes, chapter number 24. I wasn't very far off. And good for you, Dennis. You only missed it by three chapters. Numbers chapter 24. Now watch this here, verse 15. And he took up his parable and he said, Balaam, the son of Beor, hath said that a man whose eyes are open hath said. He hath said, which heard the words of God and knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob. Here's that prophecy. And a scepter, that's the scepter of a king, shall arise out of Israel and smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Sheth. I want to tell you something right now. Isn't that a shame that old Balaam had God speak to him and show him a vision and be so careful, and yet he died as a heathen died? You know, it's not enough to be able to know something about the Lord Jesus Christ and something about the prophecy, something about his death, his burial, his resurrection. It's not enough to know about it. You better have it personally as your Lord and as your Savior. In the lesson back in our text that we're looking at, let me tell you something, is that the young child, for all practical purposes, has a hostile group that's against him. Hey, in the day we live in, it's a hostile group, and it's growing more hostile all the time. In this lesson here, you'll find out that when you begin to look into the Bible, you begin to find out that God is still in the business of protecting his children and protecting his own. And the Bible said that when you begin to look there at about verse number 12, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed to their own country another way. Now these are the wise men. They lay down at night, and while they're dreaming, God's stirring their heart. God said, you better not go back to Herod. And I'm going to tell you, they went another direction. Now God appears unto Joseph and says, I want you to take the young child and his mother. And let me say that when you begin to look into it, he said, I want you to flee into Egypt with them. And I want you to stay there until I call for thee, because Herod's going to seek the young child to destroy him. So verse 14, whenever he arose and took the young child and his mother by night, they departed into Egypt. And let me say to you that, if you will, that they were there until the death of Herod, and so forth and so on. And the fulfillment of the prophecy that he wanted to get done, out of Egypt have I called my son. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm glad to know that God is on the throne and everything's running right on time. Do I like everything he does? No, I don't. But he's always been right every time. Let me tell you, sometimes God has to hurt us very deeply in order to help us. But you can just rest assured that whatever the Lord has done, it's his doing, and you and I can't change it. We just better humble our heart and humble our lives unto it. I want to tell you right now, sometimes God just wants to manifest what a loving and concerned family that we have around us. Sometimes God just wants to be able to show us that he's running everything right on time according to his own word and according to his own will. Does that make me feel any better? No more than it does you. But let me tell you right now, our God is able from the guttermost to the uttermost to not only save, but to heal us and strengthen us on the inside. I was thinking about, you know, when we look into this lesson, it's here, is that you'll find that his eye is upon the sparrow, and the Bible said, and he watches over us. While the very hairs of your head are all numbered. I know some of us don't have as much as others, and mine's fading fast. But God knows the number of every one of them that ever fell out and hit the floor. And he does that with you. Isn't it amazing that he takes such particular, meticulous notice of you and I that are here and that are his? I was thinking about in this lesson that we're looking at, is that he tells Joseph, I want you to take that child, the young child and his mother, flee into Egypt. Now, while he's there, he's waiting to hear from God again. And he's waiting on to be able to come out of Egypt and the fulfillment of that prophecy. And as a result of that, he's in the waiting business. Yeah, that's a hard place to be, isn't it? You ever have to risk wait on God? Sure we have. We've seen it here even of late. Have to wait on God. Some of these boys and girls that are here or there, especially these little ones, they are excited about their birthday. Now they're having to wait. Oh, I've got to wait. Some of them are so excited and so in such a hurry, they'll announce next year's birthday. I remember years ago when Brother Cox was able to be here, one of my grandsons, Jacob by name, he went up to him and got a dollar for the offering. He went back and sat down. He said, I didn't even realize we don't take an offering on Wednesday night until after the service was nearly over. I said, that's all right. I got a lot of grandkids. We train them that way to get, no. I want to say to you that, if you will, that we are all the time wondering. And I hear some of these boys and girls every now and again, you mamas go to them grabbing them by the mouth and try to hold it. And they're, I'm trying to tell them my birthday. Well, yeah, but it's not till next year. You know why? It's because it's hard for us to wait. It's hard for us to wait. And as a result of that, I know I get excited about just being able to see tomorrow come. I'm looking forward. You know, I've waited all year long. I've waited all year. And it's been a trying year. It's been a troubling year. It's been a tough year. I've waited all year long for deer season to get here, bow season to open up. And now it's over. And now it's fixing to be muzzleloader season, and that's going to be over too. And I'm going to be sitting waiting all year long. I'm going to have to wait through the spawn, and I'm going to have to wait through a lot of other times and trials and troubles and heartaches and heartbreaks, and some happy, some not, until I can look for next year, Lord willing, if he tears his coming. I want to say to you, waiting's a hard thing. Psalm chapter 27, I'm going to give you three passages real quickly. Over in the book of Psalm, chapter number 27, about verse number 14, there's a passage there. And he said, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now I'm waiting on the Lord to come. Since the day I got saved, I've been waiting on the Lord to come. I want to tell you something. God said, wait, I say, upon the Lord. Psalm 37, the Bible said in about verse number 34. 37 and verse number 34. And here's what he said. Wait on the Lord and keep his way. See, waiting on the Lord will make your patience wear thin. You'll get to where I'm tired of waiting on God. I've been trying to live for God, serve God, follow the word of the Lord. Well, don't you give up and give out on him, because that Bible said in verse 34, wait on the Lord and keep his way. He shall exalt thee to inherit the land, and when the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. And then in Proverbs in chapter 20, there's another passage I wanted us to look at. And in Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 22. You know, it's something whenever you're bedridden or in the hospital and so forth and on, and you get a little antsy and you go to feeling real good and you want to get up and get around and so forth and on. But in Proverbs in chapter number 20, about verse number 22, there's a passage. Say not thou that I will recompense evil. Watch it. Do you know some people you just like to slap? I know you do. I know you do. If not, you're just lying. If you thought real hard, you won't even have to think real hard. Say not thou that I'll recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. I can tell you right now is that if you and I just need to learn to hide God's word in our heart that we might not sin against him and that we could teach transgressors his ways. He doeth all things well. Herod was troubled because he didn't believe God. All Jerusalem is troubled because she doesn't believe in the Christ child. And let me tell you something. When they gathered all the chief priests and the scribes together, they demanded, where is this baby, this child, where is it been born? Where has it been prophesied that it was going to be born? And when they got to looking, they found in the scriptures about 5 or 6 miles from where they were. But they didn't go themselves. Let me ask you, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? See? Because one of these days, it's going to come down to the short road. It's going to be the end of it. Yes, sir. What have you done with Christ? That's the question. All right, let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, I want to say thank you for loving us even. Congregation, we ask your blessings now upon these boys and girls, these men and women. We want to say thank you, dear God, for having loved us while we were even unlovable. I pray you'd save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. Lord, may they come forward and let it be known, I've gotten saved, preacher. I want to follow the Lord in baptism. Whether it's a man, a woman, a boy, a girl, Lord, the greatest need we have for the hour is to humble ourselves and worship him who is born the King of the Jews. In Jesus' name and for his sake we pray. Amen.